Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Thank you all for joining us on this Tuesday morning edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast. Joining us today from the City of Angels is Charlie Smith. Charlie, how are you doing and where can the fans find you on Twitter?
Doing great. No complaints, Cody. Great to see you again as always. Smith_MLB is where you can find me on Twitter/X.
Wonderful. From the lovely beaches of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we also have Terry Cushman joining us on the pod tonight. Terry, how are you doing?
Oh, man. Living the dream.
Weather's still got to be pretty nice there right now, huh? I think the RBC Heritage in your neck of the woods this week for some golf, right?
Is there? I'm bad at golf. I know we're having a major tournament at some point.
Yeah, so the RBC Heritage got postponed this Sunday. We'll have a Monday finish. But we are not here to talk about golf. We are here to talk about the Red Sox. On today's show, we have Totally Legit or Calling the Cops. The first one we have today is Jarren Duran gets traded at the deadline. Charlie, do you think this is totally legit or are you calling the cops?
You know, a couple days ago, this question was posed to the boys in the group in here, and I have to say that my stance on it is still 25%. I don't think there's a real chance that somebody like Jarren Duran gets moved, because I think that would also send an interesting message to your team. If things start to pick up and things are going great, then we're going to start to ship out the players that are the most lethal on the base paths. That doesn't make any sense. So especially if Jarren Duran can take a couple steps up, I think that's, you know, something that you'd want to have on your team. So I genuinely don't think that the Red Sox move him unless the Red Sox completely implode. And I mean completely, like I'm talking 6-21 for a month of baseball. And, you know, it's just whatever we can get, or not necessarily whatever we can get, but perhaps like a couple teams go in on him and are willing to part ways with a decent pitching prospect. And by decent, I mean like top one or two, not both, but one of those guys, and add them in, because we don't have any pitchers in our depth for the minors. So it'd be nice to start to get that pipeline back up and running again.
Terry.
So that was a call the cops, I assume.
Yeah, I'm saying that I don't think that it's legit that he is going to get traded. I'm calling the cops on that one.
Fair enough. So here's where I'm at. The quick answer is I think it's totally legit he'll be shipped in July. And the way to steer me away from that was if you were to tell me this winter the Red Sox really will go full throttle this time around, and they're really gonna spend money and pursue every avenue to making us competitive for the playoffs. If we were going to do that, I would call the cops. I'd say, okay, well, no. So Duran has to be a part of that then. But I don't think they're going to have an aggressive approach this winter. I think it's going to be very similar. Maybe the team will be a little bit better next year, but I don't think it's going to be a massive step forward. And Duran's got 4 years after this of control. That's a lot of control for a team. The most players you acquire at the deadline, unless they're a rookie or they haven't made their major league debut, you're not getting them for 4 years. They're usually rentals for about a year and a half, and then they're free agents and the teams hope to extend them. And another reason why I believe that it's very likely, well, there's a bunch of reasons, but another primary reason is one of John Henry's biggest gripes the last couple of years was that Bloom wasn't aggressive enough in trading players for more assets. Like, for instance, last year we could have had Justin Turner for Edward Cabrera, which would have been amazing at the time. I think Cabrera is injured right now, if I'm not mistaken. But I think there's going to be a hard mandate for Breslow at this deadline to sell some guys. And yeah, you're going to see Jansen get moved. You're going to see possibly Chris Martin get moved. Some of the shorter term guys, just going down the list here. You know, maybe a Reese McGuire type guy could get moved. But a lot of those guys aren't going to net you the haul that Jaron Duran is going to net you. He's your big fish this year. If you want to get a team's top one or two pitching prospect, it's going to be Jaron Duran. No other guy on the roster is going to get you that. And then finally, in the grand scheme of things, your big three down in Double-A Portland, they're all lefties. They're all lefties. So I just think Duran is probably a little bit more expendable. Now, having said all of that, Jaron Duran's probably my favorite player on the team outside of Devers. And may, I'm a big, you know, Casas guy as well. But if I were to buy a jersey tomorrow, if you would tell me tomorrow that Jaron Duran's going to be here for basically the balance of his controllable time, which is 4 years, that's the jersey I'm buying. I want to rock a Duran jersey when I go to Fenway Park, but I think a lot of other teams want to be selling Duran jerseys as well. And if he keeps up this pace, and I know he was a little quiet this last series, only 2-for-13. He did draw a couple of walks though, but if he keeps this up, I think the phone in the front office is going to be blowing up for teams wanting to add a guy like Duran who can lead off for them, who can steal bases, and who can impact the team the way he can. So I'm going to say more likely than not, Jaron Duran will be moved in July. I think it's totally legit.
I'm going to have to call the cops on this one, but I will say this. You know, Terry, you mentioned the phones could be ringing. It could be a haul, the 4 years of control, you know, the dynamic player. If there is an offer that the Red Sox just cannot walk away from, I think that's out of our control. One of the big differentiators between a Jaron Duran situation and say the Justin Turner situation of last year is the amount of money that they were committing to Justin Turner for that season, right? I think, you know, Henry was probably a little dismayed that they couldn't offload some more of that payroll as he's done this cost-cutting measure year over year over year. Duran is still, as you mentioned, very controllable. You know, he's not a financial burden, and he's bringing something to the team that, quite frankly, a lot of other members aren't bringing at this moment in time. We've seen him take continuous steps over the past couple of seasons to, you know, just become a progressively better baseball player. And if you were to punt on a Jaron Duran at the middle point of this season, regardless of how well you're doing, it just really shows that you're not committed to winning, because there's not many players out there that have the skill set that Jaren Duran does to be able to put bat to ball like he does and have the speed that he has. There's very few players that are doing so. If you can add in a few more walks, you can, you know, tighten up the path that he's taking to balls in center field, we're looking at a bona fide all-star type level player. He still looks a little funky in center field running down some of these fly balls, but he's always getting there. He's always in the right position when it matters the most, and he's learning, and he's doing it at the hardest level, and he's kind of showing it, you know, the raw just experience it is of being a Major League Baseball player. I think it'd be very difficult to sell this fan base after it's gone through what it's gone through the past couple of off seasons to sell one of the few highlights that we have on this team. You guys mentioned he's electric, he's dynamic, he's some of your favorite baseball players, a jersey that you would love to don when you go to the Fenway Park. And, you know, to ship him out for anything less than, you know, a monumental return of prospects, I mean, it has to be a deal that everybody looks at and goes, okay, I don't follow prospects, but wow, we got a haul. And unless it's something like that, I think you have to hang up the phone, because it's not going to be worth it.
Side question here in relation to that. Let's say, I should have had the stats up a little quicker, but let's say Willier Abreu is hitting about 280, and I think he's up around 250 at this point after being on the floor, after having some Rafaela type numbers for the better part of a couple of weeks. Let's say he gets up to 280, and he does seem like he's going to walk a lot. So let's say he's hitting 280, his on base is about 360, and he's got a few more home runs here in a short amount of time. And then just continues to build and build and build into the summer. To me, that only makes Jaren Duran that much more expendable, because Abreu is also a lefty. And I just feel like he's 25 versus Duran is 27, maybe 28 by the end of the year. I don't know. I feel like it's going to happen, and I don't think the Red Sox care. I don't think they're really looking at the PR aspect. They're willing to get murdered out there, and you just got to wait 5 minutes, and then they'll be getting murdered for the next thing. It's just how it's been.
So. I hear what you're saying, but you know, Cody hit up on a specific point that I think really needs to be, you know, harped on and highlighted. And that's, you know, this team's going to get murdered if we start shipping out players that are starting to do well or becoming fan favorites. Terry, you yourself said that if he stays full time, you don't want him to go, you want him here. You would buy his jersey.
I would.
I doubt that, you know, and you're a positive guy. Imagine those people that are more positive than you that would be upset if Jaren Duran wasn't in Boston anymore. I think it sends a really bad message. Oh, if I'm doing well here, the team trades me. Is this really a team that I want to go to? As opposed to investing in the players that you have and maybe getting rid of other players on the team that may not have a future here in Boston past 2024. You know, I don't know where Valdez is going to end up. I don't know if it's going to be in Boston next year. Ref Snyder, I don't think he's going to be here next year. So there are going to be opportunities to have three or four outfielders. You have Yamamoto. Not Yamamoto, my God.
Yoshida.
I keep doing this. Yoshida, I'm like just down and out right now. So you have Yoshida. You have Duran. You have Abreu. You will have O'Neill back. Those are your core four. You don't need any other outfielders there, period. If you want to get another one, like utility infield outfield guy, then yeah, go for one of those guys. But I really think that getting rid of Jaren Duran, and I hear you on the fact that he's 2 years older, but we still don't know what we have with Abreu yet. We still don't know yet. And it's going to be really crappy if Jaren Duran in 3 years has a Jacoby Ellsbury type season with 25 home runs and 50 stolen bases and hits 320. It's going to be brutal. I just don't want to see it happen again.
I don't want to see it happen. I'm uncomfortable with how much it makes sense, at least in my head, to get a blockbuster haul. And some of these pieces you're getting back could be for 2025.
That's what it's got to be, though. It's got to be a blockbuster haul, right? If it's not, I think that's when it gets really difficult. I'm not debating the possibility that he's traded or at least floated out or called upon, but you got to make it worth it if you're going to let a talent like that go, especially one that you have groomed, which is, you know, kind of been a knock here as of late.
What,
something else you wanted to add?
Just what player is going to get called upon more from other front offices that could realistically be traded?
Well, that's what I'm saying, right?
He's the guy.
It is realistic that he's the guy, but it's, you got to hold the line strong if you're the front office and say, hey, look, we have a select few assets that people are going to try to take from this team. So, you know, a bird in the hand is very valuable. And especially for Boston when, you know, we don't have much room to really work with.
Another guy that could go, I didn't mention, that makes a lot of sense is Connor Wong. Possibly. I could see if he's hitting.
I also don't see him going.
Well, Teal will be up.
I hear what you're saying. Jaren Duran has 4 years of arbitration eligibility left. He has all 4 years. So you would have to get a king's ransom for somebody like that back. It's not like the Mookie Betts era where, you know, you trade him or you lose him and you get nothing. So that's why we got nothing. I wish we traded him 2 years before he left Boston. So that way you do have a haul of prospects.
I don't know what kind of car John Henry drives, but I'm sure he's got his own parking spot with his name on it. And that car is going to be That car is going to be parked in that spot throughout the last week of July. And he's going to be saying, make some moves.
I hear you.
And Sam Kennedy is going to be, you know, never mind. I was making a puppet motion, but I'm not funny sometimes.
Anyways, moving on to the second one of the night, we have, is it totally legit or are you calling the cops? Justin Slayton will be the new closer by the end of the season. Charlie, what do you say?
Man, oh man, I don't know if there's been another pitcher in the bullpen that's been as exciting and as fun to watch with 0 minutes of Major League Baseball experience. He is absolutely owned the role in the bullpen, similar to what, in my opinion, was Garrett Whitlock when he got taken away from the Yankees and just lit it up. And I hope that they do not mess with this guy. I absolutely think this could be legit if Kenley Jansen ends up getting moved. I mean, it's a guy that can go one plus. You need him to come in for two innings? Sure, hold my beer. He can do it, and he's done it already. He had a string of either 4 or 5 appearances where he didn't even allow a hit. So, I mean, he gets it. He understands his role, his job, and he's been doing great. No, he's not going to punch out 2+ guys every game, but you know what? If you can come out and do your job, I would rather you come in and pitch an inning and a third, two innings, whatever, strike out one guy, no runs allowed, no hits, no walks, no nothing. You just get in there, you do your job, you get out. So yes, absolutely, totally legit. I can see Slayton being the closer. Terry?
Well, if Jansen's gone, Chris Martin's gone, and then who do you have? So I think it's totally legit. He could be the closer. I don't know if he's the closer super long term. I wouldn't mind if they tinkered with him being a starter. Up until last year, he was a starting pitcher, I think, in the Texas system. And then they converted him into a reliever. He pitched okay at AAA, but not good enough to be put on the 40-man. They put him in the Rule 5 draft, and Mets took him. Then we acquired him from the Mets, and he's been phenomenal. So I don't know what his future is, but I could certainly see him getting some looks going down the stretch in 2024. Another guy that could do it is Garrett Whitlock, depending on how things shake out with him. And Charlie made the comparison. They're both Rule 5 guys, so their path to Boston was essentially the same. And the difference between Slayton and Whitlock to me is Slayton doesn't look like he needs a Xanax. Like, very cool and calm out there, and he gets it done.
I absolutely think this is totally legit. Slayton has been incredible. Like you said, he's got that closer mentality, that closer demeanor. Doesn't seem like he's, you know, bothered by the situation, bothered by the moment. You know, we kind of threw him to the wolves for his MLB debut. And apart from that, he's been incredible. I think Kenley's going to find his way out of Boston by hook or by crook, whether it be by performance, by talking, by forcing a trade. I think he's done. He's mailing it in. He's going out there and getting saves for his own individual statistics, all the way out on Kenley at this point. So for me, this one is totally legit. The third one we have for tonight, I am setting the over at 135 and a half games and 20 home runs for Masataka Yoshida. Do you guys think this is a totally legit season prediction for him, or are you calling the cops? Charlie.
So I'm calling the cops on this one because I think he could still hit that 135 to 140 range of games. He did it last year, but that's assuming, you know, no major injuries and he gets the same level of days off that he got this year. Again, no injuries. He did not hit 20 home runs last year. He started off the year absolutely on fire and then, I don't want to say mailed it in, but just wasn't the same guy. So for that reason, I don't think I can picture Yoshida hitting 20 home runs, so I have to call the cops. I'm only like half in on that. So for me, yeah, maybe 135 games if we're lucky, but definitely not 20 home runs. So calling the cops. Terry?
I will also call the cops on that one. For him to get to 15 home runs last year, he had a very good May and June. And he's already off to a slower start than that. And I think it's more likely than not he struggles in the second half again. I think there's a very real possibility this guy's just not going to be a second half player for you. And for that reason, I don't think he quite gets to 20. Could he match the 15? Possibly, but I think he falls short of that. So I'm going to call the cops. I will say this, though. It sounds like I trash Yoshida, and some of the haters on Twitter will insist that I'm rooting against the guy because he was a Bloom guy and I want it to fail, but we're stuck with him for 5 years. I don't want him to fail. I want him to have a viable role on this team because we're stuck with him. The one thing I'm tired of is dead money on the books. I hate that. So we'll see. I'd love to see a good series against Cleveland when it gets started on Tuesday. That would be a good step in the right direction. But again, just based on precedent, based on what I'm seeing right now, I have to call the cops.
Phone lines are dead over here, boys. I think this is totally legit. This is obviously predicated on the idea that he has no major injuries, right? You know, I think this is a factor that we're all going to put into consideration. You know, if he's playing the full 135 games, I think he's going to hit those 20 home runs. Last year, he had a full Japanese baseball league season. He went straight into the World Baseball Classic, and then he came to spring training. That's a lot of mileage on an individual within a singular year, not to mention you're transitioning into, you know, Major League Baseball. We're putting him in the lineup every day. He was learning left field. He was learning the monster. He had those great early couple of months. And then I think, like you guys mentioned, the wheels fell off. We're giving him more off days to begin with. We're managing his playing time. We're lifting him from the field, keeping him at DH so he can focus. We're starting to see him keep that lead hip in the batter's box a little bit more. He's starting to barrel up more balls. Swing's still looking good. I'm optimistic. You know, the power is going to be there. It's just, you know, can he connect on it? Can he stop rolling over to second when he flies kind of out of that swing? If he stays kind of through it, you see it in his batter, you know, kind of routine, those shadow swings. He's got the right idea. It's just got to stay committed and not getting too excited when the pitch is actually coming. So I think it's totally legit. I think he clears that 20 home run mark if he plays 136 or more games. Terry.
What would be nice, it would be to see a guy perhaps like Tristan Casas, maybe work with him a little bit. Casas is exactly the same every time he steps in that batter's box. Same exact approach, same exact routine, same exact quirks. And one of the guys that was really influential in helping Rafi Devers was actually JD Martinez. You know, when JD would get into the box, he would take a deep breath. He would do his little, you know, his normal stuff. And then, you know, he would lock in on the pitcher. Well, Devers started doing the same thing too. You'll see Devers. I haven't noticed it as much this year. I haven't really looked for it. But Devers would take a deep breath in between bats to recompose himself. And then, again, focus on the pitcher. I think Yoshida could benefit from some similar guidance because it's a mental thing with him. The dude just loses it. That's what causes the mechanics to get a little bit out of whack. And then, like Cody, you just said, he just rolls the balls into second and, you know, the ball gets shipped to first and he's out by a mile. So I think it's an approach thing, you know, as much as I have some stamina concerns in the second half, but I think you can definitely solve the approach thing early on. But I don't know, you know, Yoshida speaks through a translator. So, you know, I don't know how set in his ways he is and all that. I can't speak to his mindset on how he looks at things, but I would love it if he took, you know, a long, hard look at his approach each time he steps in the box.
You got to control what you can control, right? You can be consistent with your own approach. You can be consistent with your preparation. You can be consistent with, you know, what you bring to the table. What you can't control is how many opportunities you're going to have, what the pitchers are going to do. And you can't worry about those things. You just got to make sure that you are as prepared as possible. Looking at our last one for this episode, Charlie, do you think it's totally legit or are you calling the cops on Jaron Duran will lead the AL in stolen bases this year?
I think there's a chance that this is totally legit, and there's a couple reasons for that. The fast guys in the majors tend to be in the National League. I mean, you're not in the same league as Ronald Acuna, who just was on fire last year with, I think, 73 stolen bases and 40 plus home runs, just absolute craze. You also don't have Corbin Carroll. You also don't have Ellie De La Cruz and then Bryce Tarong. This year, Lane Thomas has kind of come out of nowhere as well. So those are three guys right there. Tarong, Thomas and De La Cruz all have 10 plus. So you don't have to deal with any of those guys in the American League. The guys who you have that are the closest to him, you have Julio Rodriguez at 6, Anthony Volpe at 6. Mike Trout, shockingly enough, has 5, which is a big surprise to me. For 2018, he had 24 stolen bases. So far since then, his last 6 seasons, he's had less than that combined. So I don't think that's going to be a big threat. I really think the only person that's going to challenge him, honestly, is Bobby Witt Jr. And that's the only person that I think can do it, match him, and maybe exceed him. Me personally, I'd love to see if Jaron Duran can continue building on it. Assuming all goes well and the numbers don't go down and he's still getting on base and drawing, you know, getting singles, drawing walks, yes, totally legit, Jaron Duran can take the stolen bases title in the American League in 2024.
Terry?
Looking at some of the guys Charlie was talking about, the two that stand out the most to me, Julio Rodriguez, Anthony Volpe, both of those guys are getting on base at a pretty good clip. And in order to steal bases, you got to get on base. Some of the other guys, Luis Renjifo, he's got 2 less than Duran presently. We just saw him in both series against the Anaheim Angels, but he's only getting on base at a 306 clip. So I'm going to say totally legit. I think Duran can do it. And I don't know if he's really looking at it that way right now. I mean, he seems like a guy that's just trying to, you know, make it all work. You know, he's trying to put the ball in play and just be an all-around good baseball player. But I bet you once summer gets close and he's like, man, I could lead that category, I think you'll just start seeing it more and more.
I think it's going to be a clean sweep. I call this totally legit as well. The only thing that gives me concern is the number of opportunities. And I'm not talking because, you know, he's not getting on base as much or he's not walking. I'm talking about because he's taking opportunities away from himself, stretching singles into doubles on ground balls through the right side or ground balls through the left side. The dude is so fast. And I think, you know, each and every time he gets on first base, he's looking to steal every time. Whether, you know, it's a hit and run with O'Neill or Devers, or, you know, if he's trying to get the pitcher to throw over to him a couple of times. The guy already has, what, I believe 8 stolen bases, only 1 caught stealing. He's electric. And, you know, it takes a remarkable pop time from the catcher, a perfect throw to nab him at second base. He's starting to hit in bunches. I think his average is right around 300. I don't think there's going to be too many competitors that are going to be able to stay with him throughout the remainder of the season, as long as he kind of keeps getting on base at this percentage. So for me, I think this is totally legit as well. Terry, you have something?
Yeah, just another guy to keep an eye on that has 4 presently and that does get on base at a good clip. I'm not saying he would lead the American League. I don't believe that, but a guy who could kind of keep it close a little bit is actually Willier Abreu. That dude can move, and
Terry's new guy.
I would be comfortable using the word electric, you know, in how he plays the game. So just something to keep an eye on. I mean, the Red Sox could have, you know, Durant could be playing for the National League and this whole thing's going to go into the toilet if that happens. But if it doesn't happen, and hopefully it doesn't, I think the Red Sox could have 2 guys in the top 5 or 6 by the end of the year.
How great would it be to have a dynamic outfield like that again? All righty. Any other tidbits you gentlemen would like to add to this episode? Alrighty, that'll wrap it for this edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great day and take care.